A siege on the Capitol. As we deal with the after effects of the mob invasion of the heart of our democracy, we give you an idea of what it was like inside the Capitol on that day. An impact felt worldwide and here in the cities. January 6th, it is said, will also be a day that lives in infamy. On that sunny Wednesday, after a rally headlined by President Donald Trump, thousands marched to the Capitol to protest the 2020 election. That is true democracy. But mere minutes later, hundreds of people rushed through police barricades, stormed the U.S. Capitol, threatened lawmakers and Capitol workers, and rummaged through offices as well as the floor of the House of Representatives. Marionette Miller Meeks was in her third day as a U.S. representative. We'll talk with her in a moment. But first, Illinois Representative Sherry Bustos. She's starting her fifth term serving Western Illinois. She was in the House chamber as the mob rushed in. She tells us what it was like on the floor of the House and the flight back to the cities.
He is a menace to our nation, and that came out loudly and clearly on Wednesday. I was on the House floor when this angry, vicious, dangerous armed mob was right outside the House floor, where I was literally a few seats away from that door that goes down the center aisle where the president typically would walk through when he delivers the State of the Union. This is a mob that was egged on and was told by the President of the United States to go walk over to the Capitol. And the man who has access to the nuclear codes, who now can't even have access to his own Facebook account because he's been so menacing to our nation, I think there's real concern about this.
The last time that we are in this type of a crisis involving the White House, of course, would be Richard Nixon and the end of Watergate. And at that time, as you know from history, is that Republicans pretty much, you know, Barry Goldwater, some of the most staunchest of the supporters of Richard Nixon, said, "Now is the time for you to go, Mr. President." You're not necessarily hearing that from the Republicans, or are you?
Well, you had mentioned Adam Kinzinger at the start of this. Adam is standing virtually alone in calling for invoking the 25th Amendment, which would, by the way, you know, again, it's up to Vice President Pence to invoke that, needs the support of the cabinet to be supportive. But that would be the first time in the history of our nation that would be invoked, and it would lead to the removal of President Trump from office and Vice President Trump becoming president just for the rest of this term, which is at this point only a few days away. And I think it's sad that there's not more who are supportive of doing something. But you don't hear speaking out on the 25th Amendment. You don't hear much about asking for a resignation. And, you know, we are at a point in our history right now that this day will be written about for generations. This is now not just a footnote in history. This is a full chapter. These are full books in history now of what happened just this week. And, you know, I flew home yesterday after living through the most horrible day of my life and those of other members of Congress and senators who were there in the Capitol when this happened, where there were the angry mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol, this temple of democracy, who then on the flight from Washington, D.C. back to Illinois, in the middle of who knows what state we were over, thousands of feet up in the air, started a mini rally right on an airplane, telling people to take off their masks, telling people to storm their own the county GOP party when they got home, that the work still continued, disparaging an Asian woman who was sitting the next row over. I mean, it was, by the time we landed, we couldn't deplane. We couldn't get off the plane until a police officer had to come on and escort off one of these mob members. And then after the folks got off the plane and they all congregated at the terminal, more police officers had to be called in. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. These are people who call themselves patriots, who think that they are saving our democracy, but they believe these lies. They believe that this was an unfair election, that by all legitimate accounts, all of that has been, refuted. All of it has been refuted. And this is what we're dealing with right now.
I bring up Watergate and Richard Nixon and the Republicans talking to Richard Nixon only by the fact that if the Democrats go this alone in the coming week, doesn't that just further create a schism between the Democrats and the Republicans, or even the Democrats, the Republicans, and Trump supporters?
I'll speak for myself. We got to do the right thing. We have to do the right thing. Look, there's nothing I think is above doing the right thing. If you don't win your reelection, so be it. So be it. But do the right thing. And then we have people like Senator Josh Hawley, Senator Ted Cruz, who are disgraceful. You know, they think that they can step forward and take away votes from voters in Arizona, take away votes from voters in Pennsylvania. They knew what they were talking about was a lie. They know that. They're smart guys. They're Ivy League guys who just are more concerned about their political ambition than they are about the democracy of this great nation. And frankly, I have little use for anybody who wants to put their ambitions and their political party before the sanctity of our democracy. And I've seen way too much of it. And we have to unite this nation. We have to work together. I'm looking to work with reasonable Republicans and reasonable Democrats to get the nation's work done. And over these next 2 years, this fifth term that I'm in, that is what I'm looking to do.
When we were watching the video of the people outside the Capitol scaling part of the building and also being on top of some scaffolding that's there, you think that that is where the inauguration is going to be held. Do you think that it will be a safe inauguration? I mean, do you have concerns about the inauguration ceremonies at that location where we saw this mob rule on Wednesday?
Well, look, we've already seen the resignations of the person who leads the Capitol Police, others who showed poor leadership. Jim, I want to note, in light of this question right now, that the rank and file Capitol Police officers who were on the House floor saved my life. They saved the life of other members of Congress who were on the floor, who were in the gallery, who were saved from this angry, vicious, deranged mob. And so I think it's very, very important to note that we had heroes that day in the Capitol Police, and the police officers who came and helped save the Capitol building and the members of Congress who were there that day. And I believe that it was a failure of leadership that we saw that day, of those leading the Capitol Police officers, the Capitol Police Force, and the other police forces that were called in. It was a failure of leadership. And so I believe on August 20th, when it's inauguration, the police are going to do the best they can to keep everybody safe under new leadership. And, I hope and pray that it will be a momentous day that will be flawless in every sense of the word, and will be safe in every sense of the word.
You showed a picture on social media of the protective gear that you were told to wear. Basically, it looked like a plastic bag to a person who doesn't really know what it was really meant for. Is that when it really got real to you?
Well, I think it got real to me when a colleague of mine who was sitting right next to me handed me his phone and showed me this group of people that was storming up the steps of the Capitol building. And I said, when did this happen? And he said, this is live television that he was watching on his phone. And it was not too long, probably within minutes of him showing me that, that you could start hearing a commotion outside the house floor. And then I saw Speaker Pelosi taken off the house floor. She was up on the dais overseeing the proceedings. She was taken off. Probably within a minute of that, our majority leader, Steny Hoyer, and then our majority whip, Jim Clyburn, were taken off their, you know, the three top highest ranking members of the U.S. House of Representatives. Probably within a minute or so, a couple minutes of that, someone from Capitol Police got on the microphone and told all of us to be prepared to get on the floor. And then probably a minute or two or three later, told us to reach under our seats and grab our gas masks that were, you know, all packaged up and be ready to put those on. And I, but all the while that's going on, you're hearing this get louder and louder inside. And, you know, you saw the image of the police officers with their guns drawn and, you know, they barricaded our door. Again, this is the door where the President of the United States would walk through on the State of the Union. That door, if you can picture that, right, you know, going up the center aisle, you know, that's where this mob was coming in. On top, again, where the gallery is, the mob had surrounded those doors and we were pounding on those doors. And, so when you ask if there was a moment when it got real, you know, all that's everything that was going on. Where my mind went was to just try to figure out, you know, two steps ahead and what, not only what I was going to do, but I had an older member of Congress behind me, an older member of Congress to my right, both women, who I wanted to make sure, you know, could get out, with all of us and could stay, you know, up with all of us. And, you know, there's, a guy named Colin Allred, who's a just finished his freshman term in Congress, just sworn in a few days earlier to go into a second term, who was right in front of me, one row in front of me. And he was a former NFL player. He's from the state of Texas. And I said, Colin, I want to stick by you. And, you know, before you know it, Colin has his suit jacket off and he was ready to do what he had to do to be protective. And, you know, we had, it wasn't just the Capitol Police inside the House chambers who were the heroes. You know, Colin was looking out for us. We had combat veterans among our members of Congress, and they were great. They knew how to talk us through putting a gas mask on, how you breathe in a gas mask. You know, I've never had a gas mask on in my life. I didn't know what to do and didn't even know how to get it out of the packaging. But you had our colleagues, you know, especially these combat veterans, Ruben Gallego from the state of Arizona, Jason Crow from the state of Colorado, who protected us and did what they could to keep us calm and made sure that we got out of there safely. So, you know, the Capitol Police and these members who, you know, knew what to do in a terrible situation, they were the heroes of the day. Despite the fact that we had this this angry mob this treasonous mob, I will call them, they wanted to take over government. They wanted to do harm to members of Congress. In the end, democracy prevailed, and it's worth noting that despite the fact that, you know, we had to go to the safe and secure location, had to stay there for hours. Munching on Goldfish crackers and Skittles because we had no other food. But in the end, we went back to the House floor. The senators went back to the Senate floor, and we got the nation's work done. We certified the Electoral College vote. We can say that in the end, democracy prevailed. And as we go forward and look forward to this inauguration, it is really important to note that democracy will prevail. And I think that is really the lesson of the day.
U.S. Representative Sherry Bustos. In a moment, Congresswoman Marionette Miller-Meeks on her experiences the day the mob broke into the Capitol and what she thinks should happen next. But first, Laura Adams looks at what you can do with your family and friends if you go out and about.
This is Out and About through January 18th. You can start the year by helping save lives with the American Red Cross on January 8th from 1 to 5:30 at the Best Western Plus Steeplegate Inn Hotel in Davenport. All donations are tested for COVID-19 antibodies. Plasma for antibody-positive donations may help current coronavirus patients in need. Appointments are preferred and can be made at redcrossblood.org. The Bearskin Gallery and Art Academy in Bettendorf are holding wheel throwing for high school through adults on Thursdays through February 25th from 5 to 7:30 p.m. This class is ideal for students with little to no experience on the potter's wheel. Students will develop fundamental throwing techniques to create functional ceramic pieces. Little chefs get cooking in the kitchen at a virtual Hy-Vee kitchen. Join dietitian Susan as she walks you through two wintry recipes, a snowman pizza and a banana blizzard. This class is designed for children pre-K through second grade. The class is virtual and free and happens on the 13th from 4 to 4:30 p.m. The Handicap Development Center is holding a Beat the January Blues virtual trivia event on the 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's only $10 per person and instructions will be emailed prior to the event. To register, email Mary Egger at hdcmail.org. For more information, visit wqpt.org.
The Quad Cities is all in this together. We take care of one another because that's who we are. So mask up, wash your hands, stay informed, and continue to support our QC businesses. We rally together while staying apart so that in time we can get back to the very best version of the Quad Cities.
Jenny Lynn Stacy is one of those musicians writing her own material, but not yet able to take it to the stage to perform it. She did perform some of her own original work on the stage of the Black Box Theater in Moline before the pandemic broke out. Here's Jenny Lynn Stacy with I Prefer It.
This way.
Jenny Lynn Stacy at the Black Box Theater in Moline with I Prefer It. Marionette Miller Meeks was sworn into office just 3 days before that fateful Wednesday when a mob broke through police barricades and stormed the U.S. Capitol. The Republican from Ottumwa talked with me just days after the attack. What an experience it was, but I do have to start with you with the ramifications afterwards. There are calls for sanctions against the president, even impeachment. Where do you stand on that today?
Well, I think if people will reflect back to that day on Wednesday, we were in the House chamber. We were doing very important work in certifying the electors from each of the 50 states. We were actually discussing the objections to the certification of Arizona at that time when this began. And when you're in the chambers, you really don't hear the noise going on. Apparently there were people who were getting messages or text messages about what was happening outside. I was not one of those. I try to limit any phone use while I'm in the chambers. And so it was a horrific event. We came out immediately and condemned the violence, condemned those protesting, those that were destroying property, desecrating the Capitol, and interrupting these very important democratic proceedings that were going on at the time. We asked for the president to come out with a stronger statement and the vice president, and both condemn the violence, which both the vice president and the president had already done, but in stronger terms, and to ask the protesters and the crowds to disperse, which they did. When we're looking at ramifications going forward, I think it behooves all of us to know that these are important proceedings. We're doing the business of the House, and we're trying to unite a country. And I heard that repeatedly throughout the campaign from President-elect Joe Biden, and after the election and throughout this time period, going into the transition. And so I think if we want to unite the country, there is 12 days left. The president conceded. We heard the concession speech and asked and committed to a peaceful transition to the inauguration on January 20th of President-elect Joe Biden. I think with that, we want to try to bring the country together. We want to unite people. And I think when you look back and reflect back on the past 4 years and what has happened, another impeachment trial will not bring the country together to unite the country. And for those people who did not feel their voices were heard or they were not being represented, or that the elections did not reflect their concerns, that this is a time to move forward, try to bring people together, and try to work on the things that will unite our country.
Now, you've heard your colleague, Representative Adam Kinzinger, actually say that he believes the president's unhinged. I mean, are you worried about the next few days as he serves as president?
As I saw the concession speech, it sounded like the president has come to the acceptance of the election, as many of us had done some time ago, and that he gave a committed to a peaceful transition. And again, I think in trying to unite the country, trying to bring us together, will another impeachment trial process over the next 12 days achieve that? I think that the tone and the manner in which I heard the concession speech, that I think the president has come to that realization that now is the time to move forward.
If not impeachment, what about something lesser, a rebuke or a censorship or some statement from Congress saying that this should not have happened?
Well, we certainly all agree that it should not have happened. We have condemned it. I think all of the Iowa delegation has condemned the violence. As we have done throughout, this past year, it's been a very tumultuous, traumatic year for all people. So I think that we have condemned the violence, condemned the protesters, acted in good faith on that. And, whether Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House, decides to go forward and call us back to Washington, D.C., we'll wait to hear what the proceedings are at this time. But the president has committed to a peaceful transition. I think that in order to keep the country calm, to not further drive a wedge between individuals and groups within this country, to not continue to separate us into tribes, wedded to our tribe, and to bring us together and unite us, we need to remember what those things are that bring us together in a common value and a common love and respect for this great country.
Tell me where you were, what was happening as you heard the speakers saying that you should actually duck and cover. You were receiving these plastic masks. I mean, it had to be a disconcerting that's the least word I could use, a moment in your life.
It was interesting because I had been up in the House chambers. I was sitting near to Representative Ken Buck and Representative Dr. Ronnie Jackson and Representative Gonzalez. And so we were sitting together, and the House chambers was extraordinarily cold. And right around 2 o'clock, I had mentioned to Representative Buck that I was going to go get a coat from my office and then come back. So I had just left the chamber, was waiting to enter the elevator when the Capitol Police came out and heard crackling on the radio that said they breached the Capitol. And by the time I got down to the basement where the tunnel is, there were more police and FBI coming in. And it was at that time that I knew that something had happened just as I was leaving the Capitol. So it was a very short period of time, but I was actually in the tunnel before that took place in the House. But speaking with my colleagues, it was a very harrowing experience for them. We're fortunate that we've had people with military experience and have been in combat that were there as well and took quick action to protect themselves and protect the House chambers with the Capitol Police and the Secret Service.
Unprecedented times. Do you worry that this now emboldens other people in the future to perhaps do the same?
I would certainly hope not. I think that as we've all seen those images and we've seen individuals arrested, and I'm sure that, you know, the full enforcement of the law should be brought upon these individuals, that it would hopefully discourage other people from taking the same action. But I also think that the Capitol Police will also look at their coverage within the Capitol, that this would never be repeated again.
You know that other countries look at America as this beacon of democracy and see this and think, wow, we have fragile nations and this is the most powerful country in the world.
Well, I think it's one of the reasons why it was so very important for us to get back to doing the people's work and to do that in a calm, respectful manner with debate and dialogue. It was a debate that we needed to have, that people and the country needed to hear that are on both sides of this issue or that are somewhere in the middle. So I think it was important that that debate, that that conversation and dialogue take place after this so that people know that democracy will not be thwarted, that evil will not win out over free-thinking individuals in a republic with democratic values of free speech, freedom to assemble, freedom of religion. So I think it was very important for us as members of Congress to show to the nation that we were going to continue the work of the business of the people, no matter how long it took.
U.S. Representative Marionette Miller Meeks. The big auction is going on right now. Take a look at the WQPT website as we bring the auction to your home. From now through January 29th, you can check out some great items. Many you can bid on now. Big items still available later this month. It's a great way to support PBS in the Quad Cities while staying in the comfort of your home. Check out the details right now at WQPT.org. This year, the auction is at your house, so please join us for the fun. And as always, on the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.